This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by A Nice Cup of Tea. A nice cup of tea. I hope you have one today. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is about Hanako Muraoka. Hanako Muraoka is a name that summons deep respect in Japan, but she's a woman who's hardly known outside that country. I want to do my bit to change that, because hers was a life well lived in service of her deep personal beliefs, her love of the English and Japanese languages, and her unshakable faith in the power of international friendships, even when the world was at war. Through her numerous translations of classic works of English literature, Hanako was able to help former enemies find their common humanity. For this episode, I've done my best to learn how to pronounce Japanese words and names correctly, but I don't speak any Japanese, and I'll likely make mistakes. So I'm asking for your indulgence if you recognize some clunky pronunciation. Hanako Muraoka was born in 1893 and had a prolific career that spanned most of the 20th century, but it wasn't until 2014 until a biography of this admirable woman was published. Her granddaughter, Eri Muraoka, wrote An no Yorikago Muraoka Hanako no Shogai in the Japanese language, and it was finally released in May 2021 in English under the title Anne's Cradle, The Life and Works of Hanako Muraoka, Japanese Translator of Anne of Green Gables. I knew a little of the story of how Anne of Green Gables came to Japan, winning the hearts of an entire nation as quickly as Anne herself won over Matthew and Marilla Cuthbert. But I've finally had time to read the whole story, and it was delightful. I hope by the time I've shared just a small part of the story today, you'll want to read it too. Hanako Muraoka was born on the 21st of June in 1893. Her home was in Yamanashi Prefecture, which borders Tokyo. Part of Mount Fuji is in Yamanashi Prefecture, along with many other of the tallest mountains in Japan. From her birth, Hanako existed at the intersection of East and West. Her parents were Methodists, counting themselves among the small number of Christians in a country that overwhelmingly followed indigenous faiths. In fact, Christianity was aggressively persecuted in Japan for centuries because the government, not without cause, suspected that there were political motives behind the efforts of Westerners who said they were only missionaries. The result was a sad and violent history of mistrust between Eastern and Western belief systems. By the time of Hanako's birth, freedom of belief was protected in the law, though Christians were still a small group of mistrusted outsiders. Young Hanako attended a school in Tokyo, which was run by Canadian Methodists. This gave her strong English language skills, as well as the chance to learn about Western literature. After graduating, she became a teacher at a Tokyo women's college and published her first book of stories for children in 1917. She married her husband, Keizo Muraoka, in 1919, and their son, Michio, was born 1 year later. Hanako's life was marked by hardship. In 1923, a massive earthquake devastated Tokyo. The quake hit just before noon, while everyone had fires going to cook food. Many buildings that didn't collapse simply burned up. Almost 150,000 people were killed, although this is just a guess, as at least 40,000 bodies were never found. Among the dead were Keizo Muraoka's brother, Hitoshi, and Keizo's 7-year-old son from his first marriage. The Muraoka's printing business was destroyed. 70 employees died after the building collapsed and burned up. Grief from losing so many friends, family members, and employees, as well as the stress of attempting to salvage what was left of the printing company, nearly broke Keizo's health. Then, an employee ran off with some important assets, including the official company seal. In the West, heads of corporations put a signature on official company documents to make them valid. In Japan, businesses use seals, small, one-of-a-kind stamps that leave an official impression in red ink on documents to give them legal authority. Without the company seal, Keizo would have been unable to do a lot of the paperwork needed to get the business running again. He contemplated giving up and going to work for someone else. This would have meant the death of a large, multi-generational family business. Hanako told him to focus on rebuilding the business. She spent her life as a young single woman supporting her own birth family, and now she would work more and support her husband and son. Keep in mind, this was 1923, and Hanako was a 30-year-old married mother. Many husbands in this time and place would never allow their wives to be employed under any circumstances. It would be seen as a shameful failing on his part to provide for the family. But the extreme circumstances and Hanako's unusual life made it easy to make this choice. She worked hard as an author and editor, bringing in enough to pay the bills until she and her husband were able to relaunch their publishing and printing firm under the name Seiransa Shobo. The company's mission statement said that their sole aim was to benefit women and children with high-quality, reasonably priced books. In Anne of Green Gables and its many sequels, Anne works as a teacher most of the time to support herself. She never feels ashamed of this, despite the fact that 19th-century women were discouraged from being educated, financially independent, or, worst of all, breadwinners. In a few years, when Hanako would begin her relationship with Anne Shirley, she must have recognized a kindred spirit who was proud of her hard-earned skills and her ability to bring home a decent paycheck. But just as Hanako's family seemed to be back on track, tragedy struck again. Her son died of gastroenteritis just a few days before his 6th birthday. He was perfectly healthy. Then 2 days later, he was gone. Hanako was despondent. In writing about this part of her grandmother's life, Eri Muraoka did not edit out her grandmother's darker thoughts. Hanako had been a devout Christian her entire life, but in this moment she lost all faith. Every time a friend reassured her that this was God's will, Hanako thought to herself that God was cruel to give her such joy, only to take it away. She wondered if her son was taken to punish her for her sins. She wrote the following poem a month after little Michio's death. Was it but a dream? My darling boy's 6th summer. Just one truth left. This little urn of ashes. With him, life would be the brightest day. Without him, it's the darkest night. My one and only, my exquisite, precious boy, is gone. Hanako fell into despondency, but after a few months, she opened up a copy of The Prince and the Pauper by Mark Twain, which had been recommended to her by a fellow English scholar and translator. Hanako had noticed that there was a lack of books that could be read together by families, and this title seemed promising. She had a moment of revelation and renewal of faith. She no longer had her little son to give motherly love to. But rather than let these tender feelings die, she could instead offer them to many other children in the form of new stories, translated with care for the source material and affection for the readers. The first Japanese edition of The Prince and the Pauper was published 1 year after her son's death. The title page bore a dedication in memory of little Michio. Hanako brought herself back to life, sparking a prolific career as a translator. She brought classics of English language literature to a Japanese audience for the first time. Hanako is responsible for bringing books like Uncle Tom's Cabin, The Scarlet Pimpernel, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, A Little Princess, The Secret Garden, and, most importantly, Anne of Green Gables to Japanese readers. Family-friendly books had been overlooked in the publishing market, and translation was seen as merely a hobby for linguists. But Hanako discovered that there was a real hunger for new stories about faraway lands and people. She was living every writer's dream, writing words that were both creatively fulfilling and profitable. Hanako and Keizo would eventually adopt one of their nieces, Midori, and raise her as their own daughter, bringing a child once more into the family. You would think that such a career, educating girls in private schools and translating great works of literature, would lead to an interesting but uncontroversial life. But politics can poison everything. Beginning in 1932, Hanako had a job with the Tokyo Broadcasting Network as the host of the radio show Komodo no Shimbun, which means children's newspaper. This was such a popular show that children all over the nation referred to the host as Radio no Obasan, or Auntie Radio. She received piles of fan mail, and her voice was instantly recognizable to the entire nation. In 1937 and 1938, when Japan was already at war with China and war with the West was looming, Westerners, including many of Hanako's friends and colleagues, began leaving Japan. The Japanese government demonized Westerners, calling them demons and brutes. All things Western were rejected. The Muraoka house was attacked with stones that broke the windows. In order to draw less attention to themselves as friends of foreigners, Keizo stopped listening to records by the Western composers he admired so much. Hanako was careful never to leave the house with anything written in English in her bag. At their daughter's school, the teachers made a bonfire to destroy translated works of English-speaking authors. One of the dear friends chased away by the storms of war was Loretta Shaw, a native of New Brunswick. She taught at Hanako's old school, and the women had co-edited a children's magazine. The day before she returned to Canada, Loretta pressed a well-worn book into Hanako's hands. "In memory of our friendship," she said. The fact that the book showed signs of being read so many times just made it more precious to Hanako. She would be able to experience the love her friend felt for this story every time she picked it up. Hanako promised her friend right then and there that she would translate the story into Japanese. By late 1941, Hanako could no longer in good conscience keep her job as Radio no Obasan. She knew that much of the news she was delivering to children was misleading or outright propaganda. On the day that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, she resigned from her job at the radio station, unable to call people that she loved the enemy. Hanako knew that if her English language books were discovered, they would be destroyed and she could get into trouble. So she buried her library in wicker baskets in her garden, all except for one book, the much-loved little volume that Loretta Shaw had pressed into her hands, Anne of Green Gables by Lucy Maud Montgomery. While surrounded by a violent militaristic government, a society mobilized for total war and falling American bombs, Hanako spent the war years with a spirited young girl living on a small Canadian island far away. In contrast to the dark and dangerous reality around her, the Japanese translation she produced was beautiful and perfectly captured the kindness and hopefulness of the original author. Hanako shared glimpses of Anne's many hilarious mishaps only with her daughter Midori, who is just the same age as the fictional character, and was delighted to get to know her. By the time the war ended, the Muraoka home had been bombed twice, and the family had spent countless hours hiding in air raid shelters. But one thing kept Hanako's heart from sinking. Eri Muraoka wrote, "The war had devastated Japan and all its people. What had sustained Hanako throughout was her family and the mission entrusted to her by Miss Shaw, the translation of Anne of Green Gables. My future seemed to stretch out before me like a straight road," Anne says when her life changes unexpectedly. "Now there is a bend in it. I don't know what lies around the bend, but I'm going to believe that the best does." Encouraged by Anne's optimism and buoyed by the belief that peace would surely come, Hanako had managed to finish the translation. In a video made by the Embassy of Japan in Canada about her grandmother's efforts, Eri Muraoka said the following. Hanako said she translated it to prove her friendship with the teachers who raised her. "I think the story of Anne of Green Gables is completely opposite to the war. One gets the sense that in contrast to the reality she faced, Hanako found the most important elements of humanity in this story. She felt just how much everyday life experiences, such as laughing or crying with family and friends, are valuable, fragile, and beautiful. Grandmother must have been encouraged by the words to stay hopeful, day by day." The entire video is very heartwarming. I've placed a link to it in the show notes if you'd like to see it. Hanako Muraoka's journey doesn't end with World War II. Next week, I'll pick up the tale again with how her manuscript came to be published and how the Anne girl became one of the most beloved literary characters in modern Japan. I hope I've tempted you to get a copy of Anne's Cradle, The Life and Works of Hanako Muraoka, Japanese translator of Anne of Green Gables. It would make a fantastic selection for an adult book club, and teenagers will find the story engrossing if they need a new selection for personal reading. It would make a superb class selection for literature teachers, as it gives the chance to cross into many different disciplines: world history, translation, the chance to get to know a foreign language author, and the hopefulness that literature offers as a means of drawing friends together, even when their homelands are at war. I've created a list of questions that can be used for reader discussion or as essay prompts. You can find those on this episode's page at childrensliteraturepodcast.com. Anne Shirley is a fictional character that I've loved my entire life. It was so inspiring to read about the remarkable life of a courageous, intelligent, hardworking woman who loved Anne enough to work right through the most horrible war in history to deliver her as a gift to an entire nation. The life of Hanako Muraoka is well worth discovering, and I hope you enjoy reading Anne's Cradle as much as I did. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters at childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.